This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
There's been a lot of optimism surrounding stocks so far this year, with markets hovering near all-time highs. However, there is a looming threat in commercial real estate that could potentially spread and endanger the banking sector and the broader economy. I'm Andy Gersher, and this is Game. All right, let's bring on Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. Matt, always great to have you on the Gains podcast.
Hey, always glad to be invited.
Yes, Matt, and a lot of optimism for stocks as we kicked off the new year, and markets pretty much delivered. Tech and artificial intelligence has had its run. Markets are dancing near all-time highs, but there is another side to this. There may be some danger lurking in the not-too-distant future, and that's where I want to start today. What are you seeing right now, and what are your concerns as we start looking down the road a bit?
Well, this is going to be kind of a different take. On the podcast, we usually focus on the markets and investors, and we kind of focus on those things. But there are some issues out there that everybody needs to be concerned about. And it's the kind of thing that within the banking and investing communities, everybody knows this is out there, but nobody's talking about it. And I think it's kind of out of sheer fear. The issue I'm talking about is the risk out there in commercial lending, in particular against real estate that is rental-focused, office-based real estate, which is a really, really, really significant part of the debt that's out there. Now, as a frame of reference, we all remember, of course, what impact the mortgage crisis had on the banking system, and it really shook the confidence in the banking system. There were a lot of failures, a lot of roll-ups. I mean, some real marquee names, Lehman Brothers, not the least of which. And you got to remember, with the mortgage crisis, that was subprime mortgages, and subprime meaning people who had no business being approved for a mortgage for, say, a $400,000 house were getting approved on $40,000 worth of annual income. And when you take away a bank's ability to underwrite risk and force them to make loans to unqualified borrowers, the natural outcome is going to be what it was. You had default in mass, and it really caused a problem. Well, the amount of money that we were talking about there, where we were talking about a pretty narrow segment of the population and mortgages that, again, in the grand scheme of things, were not all that big. Here, what happened as a result of COVID and the subsequent work from home concept and the, well, really all the empty office space. I mean, if you walk around downtown Chicago, it doesn't look like it used to look.
The vacancy, you know it. I mean, I turn around right now. We've recently talked about this, and that's what I said, is I turn around and look out at the Loop, and there are a lot of empty office buildings. We had mentioned this last week. A third of the retail is vacant in Chicago. The Loop is just a shell of what it used to be. So you see this firsthand when you come downtown, and that just kind of speaks to the work from home, the you know, all the different things that led to this. And then, you know, you're talking about the financing side of it in an environment of higher interest rates. Thoughts?
Well, by and large, in the case of the mortgage crisis, the most vulnerable banks were your local and regional banks. I mean, they were the ones writing these loans, and they, of course, in-house were smart enough to package those up and keep rolling them up and rolling them up and rolling them up until finally it was in large part the investing community that was holding all of these mortgage-backed securities, and they're the ones that really took it on the chin. Now, you know, there were a couple of big names, like I said, Lehman Brothers, for example, who had too much of this inventory, and it ended up taking them down. But mostly it was smaller banks that were forced into liquidation, takeover by the government, got gobbled up by competition, consolidation, roll up, all of that stuff. Well, when we're talking about the kind of money that we're talking about here, I mean, we're talking about $2 billion properties. These are not small amounts of money. And the only ones that are capable of carrying that kind of debt load or extending that kind of credit are the big banks. So the bankruptcies for these properties has already started. Kind of quietly, but as we move forward, you know, everybody's focused on corporate earnings and you know, the AI boom and all of that. But again, this is something everybody needs to be concerned with, because this is going to reach straight into the pockets of the big banks. Now, I've heard the argument out there, oh, don't worry, we've been through these cycles before. We've had, you know, real estate apocalypse, and you know, there are always the bottom feeders and the distressed equity people that are going to come rushing in to buy out these properties. Well, this is not the same situation as real estate bubbles in the past, because there's a fundamentally different dynamic. If you take a $2 billion property, for example, and you mark that down to discount rates by $850 million, there theoretically should be a buyer for that. The problem is, I don't care if you take that $2 billion property and give it away and say, hey, it's yours for property taxes. If you can't rent out that space, there is no price low enough.
That also speaks to another underlying thing that's a cause to this. Small businesses are still getting crushed. I mean, we do, you know, markets, and you talk about AI trade and some of these big companies, the McDonald's and Starbucks, and yeah, they're doing just fine. You look at the top 500 companies, but the mom and pops and those are a lot of renters in these commercial spaces as well, and that speaks to the retail vacancy. But a lot of mom and pops and small businesses are also hurting really, really bad. And if they're hurting, they're not going to be renting and opening up new locations too. So that kind of plays into all of this.
Without question. And again, usually when we're talking about that, we're talking about the publicly traded companies and the juggernauts of the publicly traded companies, you know, the Googles, the NVIDIAs, and all of those. But you're right. The number one job creator in our country are small and medium-sized businesses. When you take the total number, you know, the workforce in totality, and you assign those people who are employed to the really, really big mega companies versus all of the mid-sized to mom-and-pop-sized shops, well, mid and small business overwhelm the number of people that are employed. And they can't hire as many people they're trying to come back. The ones that survived COVID are still trying to recover from COVID. They are finding it more and more difficult, for the reasons we're talking about, to afford the space they need in which to operate, because the rents have to go up because there's so much vacancy around, and the landlords have to try to make it up somewhere. And if the landlords can't make it up and the banks have to come in and take this space, well, the banks aren't sitting on that cash either. It only works if everybody gets paid. And what we're seeing set up here is an environment where there just won't be enough cash to go around.
And that could spread. I mean, we've seen how you have nervousness in one bank, it spreads to other institutions. And then everybody also feels that they have to put all their money in the very biggest bank. And so we've seen how this has played out. I want you to kind of touch on that when you have issues like this, and then they start spreading, and then the public becomes aware. Let's talk about that.
Well, we've heard the term a run on the banks. Now, when people have the wrong concept of what it means to, quote unquote, have your money in the bank. When you go to the bank and you open checking account, savings account, and you open it with $1,500. People have this concept that they have $1,500 in their savings account, for example. Well, no, you don't. The only way that a bank has cash to make loans, whether it's for mortgages, business loans, real estate, whatever it is they're loaning money for, the only way they have that cash is based on deposits. Well, you put your money in the bank and you have a savings account, you get paid interest. Well, the only reason you get paid interest, the interest that you get paid is your cut. If the bank's going to loan out your money at an interest rate and they're going to get paid while they're using your money, you have to get your cut. If all of a sudden, and we saw this firsthand in very recent memory with the mortgage crisis, a run on the banks means everybody gets nervous. They go flying over to the bank to make a withdrawal to take their money out of the bank and either stick it under the mattress for a while or put it in a bigger, more stable bank. But in any case, if too many people show up and say, give me my money, the bank doesn't have it. It's not just sitting there collecting dust in the bank. It's out there working.
You know, we always talk about run on the banks, but I mean, we're in a 24/7 world now too. So there is no reprieve from, concerns that your customers, and as they're shifting things, it can go bad quick and it can spread quick.
Picture yourself getting nervous at 3:00 in the morning, to your point, and you get online and you log into your bank and you go into your account and you click close account, and it says, sorry, zero balance. I mean, like you said, that's even more emotionally devastating than standing in front of a teller who at least can say, I'm sorry.
Right. So we're going to take a quick break, and then Matt and I are going to talk about how this all could play out for the economy and markets. Hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. I've been told that's podcast gold. Totally appreciate the solid there. Subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gains episode drops. So we drop Gains episodes on Wednesday mornings. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code MAN at checkout. That's harrys.com, code MAN. Enjoy.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Back with Matt Mategan, CEO of Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago. All right, Matt, so we were kind of talking about how this is all potentially could play out, how it could spread, how this could be even bigger than the housing issues of the past. Let's talk about the fallout for markets, the economy, and like you said, something like this can impact an awful lot of people.
The really distressing thing about this situation is that it's brand new. We've never seen this one before because we never saw anything like COVID before. And you can trace this nightmare back to COVID, and then policy subsequent to COVID just keeps getting worse and exacerbating the problem. So trying to make a call on what the overall shakeout's going to be, now we're into crystal ball range, right? I mean,
do you see this as like a black swan event, or are there enough people aware of it? Or do you think this is going to sneak up on people in a way that they might not necessarily see it coming? Sorry to interrupt you.
Unfortunately, the answer is both. Everybody who should know about this or should be expected to know about this knows about this, but nobody's talking about it. I'm deeply involved all day, every day in private equity and the private placement world. And this is a regular discussion among people who know and should know that this is coming, but there is nothing being proactively done to try to manage the risk. And the sense I get is because nobody's really quite sure what to do because nobody has any experience in it. I certainly don't know what to do. I certainly know that there are policy changes that could be made to help blunt it a little bit.
Is there any way to protect your portfolio? Is there any action of knowing this? Is, you know, we always talk about putting the defense on the field in certain times. That's the play. Is there a way to at least protect yourself? Are there some tactics? Are there some investments? Are there some spaces that you can get a little shelter?
I would certainly say that banking and the financials is not where to be heavily loaded right now. Anything you can do to take approaches that are opposite, that are non-risk related, non-financial risk related, believe it or not, the tech sector right now, it actually looks safe even at these ridiculous valuations. But the problem remains, Andy, all of these tech companies have debt, and some of that debt is to very, very big banks.
We got a little preview of this about a year ago when there were some issues with banks. I mean, it was just small time, but you think maybe something like this on a bigger scale. And again, this tech run isn't going to go forever as well. We've been through this party too.
Oh, sure. And the thing with this, and when I keep saying that, you know, this is new territory, we haven't been through this before. The problem here, what you're referring to, going back a couple of years, when the regional banks started to lose the confidence of the economic engine, right? Everything from the ground, boots on the ground consumer to your major companies. A lot of your major companies, publicly traded companies, were doing business with mid-sized banks, with regional banks, because you can get a better deal. If you're doing business as a business with a commercial lender that is not JP Morgan, for example, you can get better rates. You can get better deals. As soon as the regional banks started to lose the confidence of their clientele, what did all these big companies do? Pulled their deposits out of the regional banks, and they went to the big banks, the safe banks, the JP Morgans of the world. Well, where do you go when the big banks aren't safe either? That's the part that that's the problem we've never crossed before. And that's the one that, you know, I hate to be the cold water guy, but I am at my core, my professional background, I'm a risk management guy, and there's a huge risk out there that the people who know about it don't seem to be trying to manage. And I don't know if it's out of fear, I don't know if it's out of hope, but this is one of those, again, this doesn't just touch investors, much like the mortgage crisis. This affects all of us.
And then when you have follow through in a situation like this and people get nervous, I mean, it even impacts the spend. And like you said, it impacts retailers of all kind, businesses of all kind, because when you have nervousness spread and then markets get hit and then there's banking issues, people just don't spend.
Well, no. And again, it used to be the case that there would always be a buyer. Right? At the right price, at the low enough price, there are people out there and entities out there whose sole purpose for existing is to buy distressed assets at bargain basement prices, and they are experts at turning them around. When we are talking about commercial real estate, we have been through this cycle, I mean, dozens and dozens of times. The difference is that this time, again, no matter how much you discount a multi-billion dollar property, if you don't have tenants, if you can't fill the space, you can't generate revenue. If you can't generate revenue, you can't service your debt. If you can't service your debt, the bank is going to have to take the property. Well, the property doesn't do the bank any good either if they can't rent the space while they try to get the property resold. It's a totally different animal than we have encountered up to this point. Now, we'll get through it. I mean,
we always do. Yes. And
yeah, we always.
And there is a buyer. There's always a buyer at some point. It may be pennies on the dollar. And I like to participate as a buyer when everybody's selling. Be fearful when others are greedy, greedy when others are fearful. We hear that all the time. There will eventually be a bottom. There'll eventually be a buyer. But it sounds like there's some rough sledding between now and then. So as we wrap up, Matt, today's Gains podcast, what's the advice for the Gaines listener, the investor, how do we navigate all this, at least, you know, minimize the risk at this point?
Well, at this point now, we cover a lot of ground on the podcast, and a lot of what we talk about is theoretical. May happen, may not happen, all that.
Of course.
While the consequences of this problem, the consequences are theoretical because, as I said, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know what the solution is going to be. And nobody can. Nobody's done it before. But the problem in this case is not theoretical. This problem is real. And the best advice I can give is the advice I take myself. Pay attention to the news. If things start getting shaky, if any of these things start to materialize in a way that is seeping into the public, the oldest rule in finance is still true. Cash is king. Don't be the last one to click close my account.
We always talk about having that dry powder, because in those situations, when there is a bottom, there will be opportunities. And those who sit on dry powder and move then, it can be a game changer in a very big way.
Right, and in a very positive way. Again, you know, what we're painting here is an ugly, scary scenario. But, I mean, these are the realities. There are drivers for booming economies that are going to occur that we can't conceptualize right now. And the same is true for horrible economies, for recessions that will occur that have never happened before and will never happen again. In each case, both create opportunity, but you need to be paying attention. And number one rule, right? Cash is king. If it's time to go to sit on dry powder because you're starting to see some of the signs of this, you know, coming to fruition, again, if you're being chased by a hungry lion, the number one rule, make sure you're no worse than the second slowest runner.
That's
kind of the same concept.
That's
here.
Pretty good, actually.
I'm never an advocate of, you know, of panic and run, but what I'm talking about is not a panic situation. It is a strategic risk management concept of, if it's time to go to dry powder, it's time to go to dry powder. Don't dilly-dally.
All right. Big thanks to Matt Mategan, CEO, Blue World Asset Managers here in Chicago, and check out his website, blueworldam.com. And hey, be sure to subscribe, follow, leave us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. That's an option for you. Totally appreciate the solid there. And as always, subscribe and turn on those notifications so you know when a new Gaines episode drops. We drop Gaines episodes on Wednesday morning. And I look forward to seeing you then.
A News Radio WBBM podcast powered by Odyssey.